It's 12:37. A warm front will surge northward across the Midwest today. Much of the rain associated with this front will extend from Iowa eastward into the Great Lakes. It will be windy and unseasonably warm in much of the region, except near the Great Lakes. A cold front will surge southeast tonight, bringing showers and thunderstorms to the region. This front will become nearly stationary tomorrow, resulting in additional rainfall tomorrow and tomorrow night. High temperatures today will be in the 40s and 50s near the Great Lakes. It will be much warmer elsewhere. Highs in central Missouri will be in the mid-80s today. Overnight low temperatures will range from 40 degrees in central Wisconsin to near 60 degrees in western Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny, windy, and warm, the high 78. The wind from the south at 25 to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Expect a low of 55. The wind will be out of the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour, decreasing to 10 to 15 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, cloudy and cooler with a chance of showers. The high, 58. The wind will be from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, much cooler. Showers are likely. We'll see a low in the low 40s. The wind will be out of the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the low 50s. The wind from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night through Saturday, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-30s and highs in the mid-50s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 50s to the low 60s. Roughly speaking, the northern half of Illinois was cloudy. Southern Illinois and the state of Indiana reporting sunshine. Rockford reported 58 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 66 at O'Hare. In Bloomington, 70. At Mattoon, 68. Carbondale, 71. In Indiana, at South Bend, Indianapolis, and Terre Haute, it was 68 degrees. Lafayette checked in with 69 degrees. Willard Airport reported 72 degrees at the top of the hour. The sky, sunny. The dew point, 48. The relative humidity, 42%. The wind out of the south at 24 with gusts to 33 miles per hour. The barometric pressure, 29.99 and falling. And at 12:40, it's 73 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The Memphis-based shipping giant FedEx has boosted its domestic shipping forecast for the holiday season and says it will hire more seasonal employees than it did last year to help handle the shipments. Candace Ludlow of member station WKNO has more.
When the economy is sluggish, consumers just don't buy as much and don't need to ship things. But FedEx spokeswoman Carla Boyd says that's changing, at least in the U.S.
We are looking at a seasonal increase in our volumes of 12%, basically being driven by e-commerce and modest increased consumer spending, but important to us also our ability to capture market share from our competitors.
Memphis-based FedEx plans to hire 20,000 seasonal workers to help handle shipments. That's up 3,000 workers from last year. These temporary employees are needed to get out 260 million packages this holiday season. Economist Jeff Wallace at the University of Memphis says rising demand and seasonal growth are good signs.
And it's predicated on two factors. There's a structural change in the way consumers are doing business. They're buying, obviously, much more online now. And the other part is there is a bit of an improvement in the economy.
Still, last month, FedEx cut its financial outlook because of slowing international shipments. For NPR News, I'm Candace Ludlow in Memphis.
As the U.S. winds down military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and troops come home, many are eager to start work in the civilian sector. But it's been tough. The federal government reports the unemployment rate for young veterans has hovered around 30% this year. Faced with this grim statistic, a new group based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Vet Transfer, is helping veterans start their own businesses. It aims to connect veteran entrepreneurs to financing and equipping them with the resources and knowledge to get their venture off the ground. Aaron Toner of WUWM reports.
Marine Corps veteran John Miller is the founder of a company called Illumitech. His consigned artists elaborately engrave windshields for motorcycles that are also lit with fiber optics, so bikes are more visible. Miller's own bike, a killer Harley, is on display in a downtown Milwaukee shopping mall. Onlookers marvel at the airbrushed red and gold flames, shiny steel skulls, and images of the Grim Reaper. Miller, who served in the 70s, wasn't injured in the military, but a decade ago he was badly hurt in a crash that totaled his Harley. That's how he got the idea for Illumitech.
I got run over on my Harley, and then the person that ran me over put their truck in reverse and backed back over me to see what they'd hit. And I decided that I would never have somebody say, "I didn't see you again."
So Miller put all of his savings into starting his fledgling business in the motorcycle market. But he wanted to expand to reach new customers, people who drive semis, boats, and ATVs. Miller brought his business plan here to Vet Transfer, a new business incubator in downtown Milwaukee.
15,000 square foot. We got a great deal on it. We have a nice cafe for people to sit around, talk, as well as hold meetings in a more informal manner.
Ken Mishka is one of five former business executives who received a $3 million grant from the federal VA to open and operate Vet Transfer.
What we're trying to do is when somebody has a good concept that we think it's going to work and they're truly passionate about doing it, to inject a little bit of money at exactly the right time without all of the strings and hassles that your normal venture capital or that kind of investment would come with.
Vet Transfer itself doesn't provide financing. Rather, it connects clients to investors who are looking to support veteran entrepreneurs. The staff, located in a former Old Navy store, also helps vets navigate government regulations, and they get free internet and office space. Mishka says the program has worked with more than 100 veterans in just 4 months.
We have everybody from a dredger to, we've got a photographer, to Illumitech, which is a little bit more high-tech manufacturing.
John Miller says as Illumitech grows, he'd like to hire more than 100 new employees, especially young veterans who are returning from the wars injured or simply cannot find jobs in this economy.
We have so many kids coming back that are disabled, so many kids coming back unemployed, and they volunteered to fight for what we have here, and them coming back unemployed isn't fair.
Former Marine Asun Truth knows what it's like to struggle in the job market. Since coming home in the 1980s, he's been a repo man, a cab driver, a personal trainer. But now he's hoping entrepreneur will stick with the help of Vet Transfer. He's preparing to launch a website that will let users exchange tickets and coupons.
What they helped me do is refine my business model and really implement a lean startup strategy. I really appreciate the input from these guys.
Truth says if his business goes well, he'd like to give jobs to fellow veterans, men and women who proved they can work hard.
Guys who know how to perform 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. Guys who don't know how to quit. Guys who don't know how to lose.
If Vet Transfer is successful after 2 years, the VA plans to launch a second business incubator site in the Twin Cities. For NPR News, I'm Erin Toner in Milwaukee.
It's 12:46. Last fall, at a troubled strip mall in Phoenix, a few brave business owners opened a virtually empty complex called Bethany East. In March of this year, the center fell into foreclosure and new buyers stepped in. It's been a turbulent year on this corner, but things are finally looking up for the tenants. Peter O'Dowd of station KJZZ has that story.
During last year's World Series, this sports bar was an empty shell, another unused space on Phoenix's distressed real estate market. This year, a sizable crowd takes in October baseball.
Count in Beltre's favor. He'll look for something to drive here on this cold night.
Operations manager Jeremy Higgins says Zip Sports Grill poured its first beer in the spring. It brought this corner a jolt of life it hadn't seen in years.
If you came for the playoffs game with the D-backs on that Friday night, the whole entire parking lot, including places you shouldn't be parking, was completely full.
The turnaround at Bethany East has been fast. In August, a gym moved in, followed by a nursery and a gymnastics center. There's a new barber, a yogurt shop, and another restaurant is on the way.
Thank God. I was so relieved. I was like, oh my God, okay, we're going to make it.
There were days when Claudine Demetrio feared she wouldn't make it.
You have to be honest as a business owner. You never really know how it's going to work out, even with all of this.
She opened her day spa last December when the pocket-sized storefront was practically alone in this complex with room for about 18 tenants. As the building languished in foreclosure and eventually changed hands, Demetrio was left wondering,
did I make the right decision?
And who wouldn't worry? Demetrio invested her entire life savings, $80,000, into the business. Today, the complex is almost full. All that extra foot traffic might help her turn a profit by Christmas. With so much on the line, she had to survive.
It's close to impossible.
Dan Mercer works for the commercial real estate firm Grubb & Ellis. He tips his hat to the small shops that stayed afloat without a large anchor tenant to draw customers. He says shopping centers like this usually need that anchor, and without it, they suffered during the downturn. Each quarter since 2007, vacancy rates have inched up to nearly 17%. But there's a reason why little shops may have held on. And of course, it has something to do with location.
Rooftops drive retail, but you've got to have people in those rooftops.
So in other words, a similar shopping center out in the burbs is not going to be doing as well.
That is correct.
Demetrio opened her day spa just a few miles from downtown. Denser urban areas are more attractive to big tenants. But to sign the 21,000-square-foot gym or the million-dollar sports bar, the landlord still had to offer months of free rent and money for renovations. Mercer needs one word to describe how important those incentives are to revitalize a defunct shopping center.
Critical.
Raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, you name it, we got it. Chocolate chips, almonds.
But the little guys like Richard Hancherik won't get as much help. Hancherik opened this yogurt shop about a month ago. Like others here, he used a huge portion of his personal wealth to get it running.
To do it right, you're looking at about $200,000.
The landlord offered some money to remodel, but it was a fraction of Hancherik's investment.
This is all on the owner, and I think that's why I respect and I get respect from the other store owners, the small business owners, because they have to do the exact same thing.
In fact, you'll find coupons for his yogurt at the gymnastics center. Gym members get a discount at the day spa. In this economy, these entrepreneurs know they'll need allies and more optimism to survive another year. For NPR News, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Phoenix.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 25th of October, 2011. The great English poet Geoffrey Chaucer, author of the Canterbury Tales, died on this day in the year 1400. And since his birthday is unknown, we remember him on the anniversary of his death.